thing in this, but... Let me, on behalf of the committee, declare the meeting open. And also on behalf of the committee, let's welcome our new member, Honorable Bielefeld. Maybe you need to nod or whatever size to be seen. He replaces Honorable Becker, who is deployed to a finance committee. Welcome, and looking forward for enriching the committee. Thank you very much. Would also want to welcome Kubi Makubalo, who is our acting committee secretary. We would know that our secretary is bedridden due to a fracture, leg fracture. It's been operated. We don't know. You know, the bones take time to heal. So here's our acting committee secretary. At least for the time being, we are gender compliance. It has been a complaint that this is a committee of gentlemen. You're welcome, Toby. This is your honorable. And then I'll tell as normal, introduce myself. My name is Matomi Humphrey Mohovi, chairperson of the committee. And I'll request other members, including Bailey Felt, to formally introduce themselves for committee proceedings. I'll start with you that side.
Thank you, chairperson. Good morning, everybody. My name is Dennis Bloom, and I'm a member of the committee.
Morning. My name is Tunka Matila, a member of the committee.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Theo Bielefeld. I'm also a member of the committee.
Thank you very much. The department to also do the same. While I welcome you all, are you honorable for you? What are you? what is your title? That, just?
We are just officials from the department, Honorable Member.
Just formally for record sake, introduce yourself.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Apologies for being late. I struggled with three parking lots this morning in Cape Town. My name is Aldo Africa. I am the DG of the department, and I will just ask the colleagues quickly to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Shabi Mashile.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Teboho Motlasupeng. I'm the Senior Manager responsible for Institutional Development Systems in the Department.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm George Killiam, Senior Manager in the National Disaster Management Center. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let us not be exclusive. All members in this house, we are all equal. Let's know each other, which are various important responsibilities.
Alutungwandla, committee assistant. Good morning, everyone. My name is Geneva Furi, and I'm in the Ministry of Culture.
Hi, good morning. My name is Brutus Malada. I'm also in the ministry. Thank you.
I'm Nawal Dreya with Independent Newspapers.
Morning, I'm Bianca Kuminga with the PMG.
Good morning, I'm Secretary Chairperson for Antony.
Good morning, I'm Nomawe Tukhali from Salga, Parliamentary Office.
Lukile Mule for Parliamentary Communication.
Thank you very much. You are all warmly welcome. I would then allow to deal with the apologies.
Good morning, everyone. We've got three apologies. Honorable Zimande, and Honorable Nisi, and Honorable Chan.
And Honorable Watson is also back with them. Thank you very much. Let's go straight to item one, draft disaster management volunteer regulation and explanatory memorandum. Honorable members will remember that somewhere in July or August, we've been briefed. And by not commenting does not mean that we didn't have ideas. It means something positive, mate. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, with your permission, we're going to ask Mr. George Killian from the Disaster Management Center to take us through. But as you correctly said, Chairperson, we understand this meeting to be a follow-up and feedback to the committee. We've made relevant amendments since the last meeting, so we really see this as an important final engagement for your comments. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as you will recall, on the 28th of July, the volunteer regulations was presented to the select committee. No questions were asked by the members or no comments was made, so the deduction was made that the committee approved the regulations. as a department, we awaited confirmation from the secretariat of the select committee that volunteer regulations were in fact approved by the SE. In anticipation of that, we prepared a draft memorandum to the minister for promulgation of the volunteer regulations. So that's where the matter stands at present. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it might have been an oversight on our committee not to respond to the secretary. I don't know what happened. But I think it might be our error. The error on our side, because we were supposed to have received a written comment from the secretary. I think Kruvi and Fuku will take it up to see how technically you will deal with that aspect. Or does it need a formal committee?
No, Chair. I think the correct. In that meeting, we agreed the reason why there were no amendments to the presentation given to us to those regulations is because the committee agreed with it.
There's a letter. Just a written report for the committee. It's important. You take that. Thank you very much. We have agreed on that one. Can we now go to the second regulation? On the participation of municipal staff members as candidates for national, provincial, and local elections. You would remember there was a robust engagement on this one. I think it's also just a follow-up final. Thank you.
The
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Mr. DG. The position in relation to the regulations since our engagement with the Select Committee the last time on 28th of July is that we have received 17 comments from the public. As Honorable Members will be aware that the regulations were published for public comment, and we were awaiting comments in order for us to effect changes to the draft regulations, and thereafter submit same for promulgation by the Minister. But also that on the 28th of July, there were certain issues raised by the Honorable Members in relation to the different clauses in the regulations that Honorable Members wanted us to effect changes on. We gave a verbal response on the 28th of July in relation to the questions and comments raised by Honorable Members on that particular date. And subsequent to that, we also sat as a department and looked at how we will effect those particular comments and inputs by the members. What we have now, which was also submitted to the Secretariat of this committee, is the amended version of the regulation since we met on the 28th, which embodied in the regulations the comments by the committee and the comments by the public. We have since, if Honorable Members could look at the presentation on page. Page 8. No, I will not take Honorable Members to all, unless maybe the chairperson will request me to do that, because we presented clause by clause of the regulations that have been made, and what we did was only to identify those issues that were raised by the Select Committee and also by the Portfolio Committee. I must also indicate, chairperson, that we have also presented before the Portfolio Committee, who also raised certain issues, and those issues were considered in the final draft that has been presented to the Portfolio Committee. But the Select Committee, as you recall, the last time, they raised issues that relate to, one, whether prior to the election that the corrupt interaction between candidates and municipal electoral officers will be prevented by the draft regulation. In our response, and when we also thoroughly look into the regulation, we were of the opinion that the fact that in the regulations we have indicated that any other staff member who participates in elections shall be deemed to have been on leave upon receipt of the certificate from the IEC, and until upon, the leave will terminate upon the pronouncement by the IEC of the person being a member of the Council, permanent member of council, national legislature, or provincial legislature, or being seconded to the NCOP. We were of the opinion that that concern by the committee has been addressed, because prior to the elections, there won't be any interaction between the person participating in elections with a staff member and other staff members, because the person shall be deemed to be on leave. And any transgression to that particular regulation shall result in that particular conduct being deemed a misconduct and shall be then be pursued by the relevant municipality on the particular staff member who has transgressed that particular regulation. Now, so we felt that by having those two, having the member of council being deemed to be on leave upon receipt of the certificate up until at the time when that particular person has been confirmed by the IEC as a member of council or as a member of the national legislature, be seconded to the NCOP, or the member of the provincial legislature. That will curtail whatever corrupt interaction that might have been, that could have been committed between the member participating in elections and other any staff member. You'll recall also that in our regulations, we have a specific regulation that indicates that there should not be any interaction that relates to them, staff member participating in elections and other staff members. Now, in that, we felt that we should not over-regulate specifically to say any other corrupt relationship between the two parties should not occur prior to the election, because the two regulations in the two clauses in the regulations makes it specifically that there should not be any interaction between a staff member participating in elections and other staff members in relation to matters relating to day-to-day running of the municipality. And also the fact that it will also be covered by the fact that the person will be on leave, with the result that there won't be any interaction with the council's day-to-day dealings of the municipality with that particular member participating in elections. The other issue that was raised by the Select Committee was how will COCTA limit corruption in the period leading to the election. The same response that I gave to the first one holds water here, that the fact that the person will be on leave, the fact that the person will have no access to council property or be involved in the day-to-day running of the municipality makes it sure that that particular person shall not perform any act of a corrupt nature in a municipality, because that person shall be deemed to be on leave. And there is sanction in the event that there is a transgression to a particular regulation. We have this concern from the Select Committee that the draft regulations need to be specific to ensure effective monitoring activities of such candidates prior to the election. This particular issue was debated at length, and when we look at the specific regulation that deals with this particular matter, was how effective are we going to have council monitoring members participating in elections outside the ambit of already created by the regulations. For example, we looked into the matter and came to the conclusion that there is no way that we can put in the regulations how we are going to limit and monitor activities of persons participating in elections outside the narrow scope of working relations. Meaning that in the event of any staff member engaging with other staff members outside the dealings of a municipality, it's going to be difficult whatsoever to monitor such activities. And we had no other way of trying to coin and include that particular monetary mechanism that is outside the dealings of a municipality, the dealings of the municipality with the members participating in elections, and that. That is the reason why we were unable, under any circumstances, to include a specific regulation that says that particular human conduct outside the dealings of a municipality should be monitored by the municipality. It was going to become very difficult even to monitor and implement. The other issue was in relation to whether candidates must resign once declared their candidacy. Honorable Chairperson, you recall that we looked into this matter and it was a robust debate, as like you indicated, and the issue here was if the Constitution gives each and every citizen who is eligible to participate in elections or to participate in all the elections, national, provincial, and local, it can't make it a misconduct on the part of the member participating when the member decides to participate. So when we say that he should resign, the law or the regulation will unilaterally curtail and limit the rights of the particular person whose rights are already entrenched in the Constitution to say you resign when you exercise your constitutional right to participate in elections. So we felt that it is going to be unconstitutional for us to include a clause in the regulation that says once you decide to participate in elections, you must then resign, because it is your constitutional right to participate. So you can't regulate against that particular exercise that is constitutional. The other issue is the municipal election will be politicized rather than being solely about local communities. We looked into this particular issue raised by the Select Committee, and we looked at how to include that in the regulation. How we are going to see to it that the regulations does not, to any extent, politicize participation of staff members in elections. And we come to the conclusion that the overall spirit of the regulations is not based on the political inclination or political intention of an individual, but solely the minister with the empowering section in the legislation has the power only, in terms of Section 74, has the power only to regulate on the limit on conditions of members participating in staff election in elections, be it municipal, national, and provincial. That we are unable in no second uncertain terms to regulate, or the minister to regulate, on any issues that has not been covered within the enabling clause of the legislation giving the minister the power to regulate. To an extent that we cannot, the minister cannot, in this particular instance, regulate on any other issues that may relate to the intention of the minister to regulate, so that it should be embedded with political inclinations and political conditions into it. So the issue of this particular concern of the committee was appreciated, but we felt that we can't regulate it because it does not form part and parcel of the enabling regulation and the enabling section in the Act that gives the minister the power to regulate. We also looked into the issue of councillors that was raised full time and part time. Honorable Chairperson, remember that when we discussed this issue, it was decided that there should be a differentiation between members who have been declared by the IEC as members of council after the elections. And the difference will be that of a full-time councillor and a part-time councillor. The issue here is, at the time when the IEC declares the elections and declares the staff member participating in elections as a full-time member of that particular council, obviously that particular member will cease to be a member of that council, meaning he will cease to be an employee of that council once the IEC has declared that person a winner as a full-time councillor. Now, the issue was very clear that it has been given by law all along that a full-time councillor will not hold any other work in that particular instance. Now, the regulations will be coined in such a way that a full-time councillor, once declared so by the IEC, shall cease to become an employee of that particular council where he has been employed prior to the member being on leave once he or she receives a certificate from the IEC. So the issue of a part-time of a full-time councillor is very clear, that upon announcement by the IEC, that particular person shall cease to be a member of that particular council. In relation to part-time councillor, as raised by honorable members, the issue here was what will become of a member of council who is declared by the IEC to be a winner, but that particular member of municipal staff is a part-time councillor in another municipality. Now, he stands for election in this municipality as a part-time councillor. He is an employee of a council B. What will be the consequences thereof? The consequences thereof will be that that member will not cease to be a member of that particular, a staff member of that particular municipality, but he will be a declared winner in that municipality where he stood for elections. The difference will be a staff member who participate in elections of the very same municipality where he is a staff member. That's where the difference will be. That staff member can be
A, councillor, B, part-time or full-time, and again, being an official of council in the very same capacity. Those were the issues that were raised by the committee, and as I've indicated, we received 17 public comments, where we also considered them, and we looked into some of the input given by members of the public, organizations, and so forth, and we effected the necessary changes, and I do not know if the chairperson will request me to go into detail into the comments by the public and whether we agreed with them, with such comments, or disagree, and the reasons why we did not agree with members from the public in relation to the comments. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think for just to appraise members, because they represent public, you can just in brief write to them so that we have a view of how do we have link with those.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must also indicate that the portfolio committee strongly instructed us that we should consult with Imadu and Samu, which we did, and only Imadu up to date has responded in relation to officially commenting to our published regulations. We are still awaiting comments from Samu. With regard to that, I won't speak to the comments by Samu. Safe to say that Imadu is in support of the regulations as were drafted after the interaction with the Select Committee. However, they have made suggestions to the Systems Act on the amendments to be made. So that their input in relation to the proposed amendment shall be considered when we consider amendments to the Systems Act. That will also obviously form part of our contribution to the NVSH Local Government Summit, where all the other issues that relate to all laws governing local government shall be looked into. Also, when we look into the General Amendments Act of the Local Government, their input in relation to their suggestion to the proposed amendment shall be looked into. But in relation to the regulations, they have written us, they've given us a written submission in support of the regulations as they stand after our interaction with the portfolio committee. In brief, the comments from the public were that one, Advocate Ampi Skuor, who is the Chief Director of Legal Services from the Department of Public Service and Administration, commented that the word employer, as in the regulations, has been specifically defined for the purpose of the draft regulations and should therefore replace the word municipality. Remember, initially we had the word municipality as the employing component of council. Now, we agreed with him that when we inserted in our definition municipality, we are supposed to define municipality. But once, because the word employer is already defined in the Systems Act, which when we put it in the regulations, we define it as the same manner as in the Systems Act, rather than giving two different meanings to the same issue that you are referring to, rather refer to one. We have agreed and we have made the necessary amendments to this particular effect. We also, the word municipal staff member and staff member, that in the Principal Act, the Principal Act refers to the staff member, and that we should remove municipal staff member because it will give another totally different meaning. That we agreed and we made the necessary change to that particular effect. The issue again here was to, for us to, it was also by Advocate Ampi Skuor, that we should, in our regulations, quote the Electoral Act in full as the Local Government Municipal Electoral Act 2000 of 27 of 2000 and of 2000. We did that because we reflected in our regulations as drafted at the time, we referred to the Electoral Act. So in order to dismiss or dispel any confusion that relates to what are we referring to. The Electoral Act in full was then implemented in our regulation. He also indicated, Utungulu District Municipality, the municipal manager thereof, commented that the regulation takes away the employer's right to refuse or approve granting of leave to an employee, which is reflected in leave policies of many employers, including Utungulu District Municipality leave policy. Honorable members will remember that we said the right of a person to participate in elections is a constitutional right. With the result that when we have a deeming clause in our regulations, it does not in any way takes away the power of the municipality, of the employing municipality, to grant leave or not. Because the Constitution is the supreme act of the country, it gives the person the right to participate in elections, and we therefore did not agree with Utungulu municipality that we are taking away the power of the municipality to refuse to grant leave to a person participating in the municipality. We said the enabling clause in the Systems Act gives the minister the power to regulate on the limits and conditions of members participating in staff elections. In this particular instance, Section 19.3b of the Constitution, like I've indicated, gives all citizens a right to participate in elections. Now, the minister is only, in the regulation, confirms that particular right, and again, limit the conditions by saying, this person, when participating in elections, these are the conditions and the limits under which he or she will practice. So they cannot take away whatever rights of the particular municipality to refuse a table. The member participating in elections are deemed to be on leave. We don't take any rights away from the municipality, as the Constitution supersedes whatever rights that may be by the municipality. The other comment by Advocate Ampiskor that relates to Regulation 3.4 was that the regulation should be amended to reflect that the deemed resignation would take effect from the date before she or he assumes office, so that on the date of assumption of office, he or she is not a staff member. We agreed to that particular comment and amended the regulation accordingly, because it gives a fair comment to say that in order the deeming clause on resignation of a person once declared by the IEC to be the winner should not take place on the day when he or she assumes office as a councillor, as a member of the provincial legislature, or a member of the national legislature. But the deeming clause should be in a way that the resignation thereof shall be deemed to be a day before he or she takes office in the municipality, provincial legislature, and the national legislature. The other issue by the mayor of Cape Town was that reference is made to sub-regulation 2 in regulation 4. There is no sub-regulation in regulation 4. That was also raised by members of the Select Committee on that particular day. We agreed, because at the time when we made some amendments before presenting to the Select Committee, we removed that particular sub-regulation 2. So it was only a matter of numbering. So it was we agreed with the input by the mayor, and it was removed because it was only misplaced there. The other comment by the mayor of Cape Town was that these regulations imply that the staff member should apply for annual leave in order for it to be granted, which is ambiguous in line of regulation. No? Then he suggested that clarification be provided in regard to how and when a staff member is deemed to be on annual leave, and how and when the staff member is granted leave, and where there is any difference. In this particular instance, this is the very same issue that was discussed by members of the select committee last time. And the regulations give provision that once the certificate has been issued to a member participating in elections, that particular member shall be deemed to be on leave. That is your annual, your normal annual leave. Now the issue will be, what will happen if your annual leave days are exhausted before the declaration by the IEC of the winner and so forth. The issue here was because participating in elections, you being a staff member, has consequences, and the minister has got the right to regulate on conditions and limits of members participating in staff elections, that under such circumstances, after the expiry of the normal annual leave days, then the member shall be deemed to be on unpaid leave. The other issue by the mayor of Cape Town, I'm just getting to the end of it now, Honorable Chairperson, was that the regulation provides that the leave shall be taken into account in the municipality's performance management system and in their staff members' performance appraisal and annual performance appraisal. It is not clear what is meant by this. Surely an employee who fails to meet his or her targets in terms of his or her performance agreement because of having taken leave and violating these draft regulations should bear the consequences if the intention to settle such situations are the same as in other members of council who are not having performance agreements. It will also defeat the objective of performance management system in municipal environment. We look into it, and we felt that in the regulations we have already made provision for the municipality once a staff member who has signed a performance contract with the municipality participates in elections and is on leave. We have made provision for the fact that that municipality must then make provision internally for the municipality to make arrangements for the attainment of those targets set in the performance management system of that particular municipality. So it won't affect the day-to-day running of the municipality because the regulation says the municipality, once a staff member has participated in elections who has a performance contract, the municipality must have internal arrangements for the continuation of targets by the municipality as per the performance management system of the particular municipality. The other issue was in relation to the department advocate, and this school was also suggesting that we should remove the word elections in Regulation 5.2 and replace it with evaluation of performance. We agreed because of the fact that we have a clause specifically that indicates that the municipality must have internal arrangement to deal with such instances where there is performance management in that municipality. On clause number 9, going to the end of the regulations, Honorable Mayor Plato said it is not clear whether the drafter intended to insert subsection 3 by extend subsection 2 as the second paragraph following sub-regulation 2, which is incomplete. As a result, it is difficult to ascertain the meaning of the words and copies below. He was suggesting that this regulation be reviewed for purposes of clarity. We look into this particular regulation, this particular clause, seriously, and considered the concern raised by Honorable Mayor Plateau, but we did not agree with the assertion that that was not clear and confusing. When we read this, and also when we engaged with the department's legal services, we found this particular clause to be very simple and clear and understandable in simple terms. So we did not make any changes to this particular Regulation 9, and we left it as is. Mr. B. Biela, the municipal manager for Tungulu Municipality, on 9, says the following phrase should be deleted in draft Regulation 9. That is, and depending on the seniority of the staff member. In our initial draft of the regulation, we said that any senior staff member in a municipality who has a performance agreement with that municipality, once participating in elections and the IEC issued a certificate, the president shall be deemed to be on leave. Now, the municipal manager said that will be an unfair discrimination. What about other staff members in the municipality who are not senior, who are participating in elections? We agreed and we remove this phrase, and depending on the seniority of staff member, to include any staff member in the municipality. Who will participate in the elections, the consequences thereof of a given loss of leave shall apply to each and every one in the election. The last one is just a general comment by Mr. T.R. Zeman, who said whether the Minister for COPTA Department has the authority to regulate leaves of municipal staff members who stand for candidature in elections, since granting of leave is a prerogative of the municipality. We noted that particular comment by Mr. Zeman, because we have already answered that particular issue in the clauses that says the Section 19 SC of the Constitution gives each and every member of the community a right to participate in elections once the person is eligible. So that's all what the comments from the public are, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There was first hand from Honorable there. Then it'll be second. Third. Yeah.
Honorable Chair, just for clarification, I don't think it's correct to say that the IEC is declaring a person a full-time councillor. When you have been elected, all councillors, I'm talking now on municipal councillors, I'm not talking about higher orders, they are all part-time councillors, and then the council elects the mayor, the deputy mayor, the speaker, and then the mayor, he appoints the permanent members of his executive committee. So the IEC has no role to play as far as I'm concerned, and I think I know the law quite good regarding this municipality. So it's just a comment, but in effect, what is on the in the regulations of the state doesn't affect it, because it's just to protect the officials. So I'm happy with it. Okay.
Honorable Kuna.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Morning, honorable members. Sorry that I'm late. I was in. I'm still part of the workshop of the MPPS of the. I'm also part member of that committee. Chair, I've just got one concern here. I've just listened to what the official has just said. My concern is, I think it's unfair towards the municipal workers with this statement. Not everybody's got a performance agreement with the mayor of the council. It's only senior members who's got that performance, senior managers who's got that performance agreement. If a ordinary member, they can't remove that clause because then they discriminate against ordinary workers there. An ordinary worker in a minister don't have a performance agreement with the council. So they can't remove that thing. If the senior manager's got a performance agreement with the council and he or she is going to stand as a candidate, it will affect his or her performance. So you can't remove that thing. It's unfair towards the other people who don't have a contract with the municipal and also going to be a candidate in that election. And that senior manager's performance agreement stands as it is. It needs to affect him or her. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Taylor.
Chair, I think I've already been covered, because the issue I wanted to raise was around full-time councillors. The reality of the matter is they are not full-time until they are appointed or elected. That is one area. But also coming to this point that has been raised by my colleague here, I don't understand why should you remove that part around senior members, because those are the people that have contracts with the mayor or the municipal manager. And the rest don't have contracts with performance contracts. And I'm not sure why are you removing that, because the problem the municipality will face is to hold those members accountable in terms of their performance.
because if you delete that, and that is the point. Yeah, but we are happy with the rest, Chair.
Honourable Bloom.
No, I'm also happy with the responses, but I want clarity, Chair. Are we going to have a second round on this? Because I hear that there is amendments to this. Are we going to get a draft of the amendment document in front of the committee or not?
Thank you. Who can respond?
Honorable Chair, let me start with the last one. That once we had an engagement with the select committee, the select committee shall be provided with the final document after an engagement with the select committee. So it will be to be provided to the select committee before promulgation by the minister. The other issue relates to the performance agreement of senior staff members. The way the honourable members argued this issue was exactly how it was coined originally by the department, if you remember. This was in response to the public comments where the municipal manager of Mr. Biela of Utungulu raised this issue to say maybe in his municipality there are other members of staff who are having performance contracts signed with the municipality, and he felt that they should be covered in this particular instance. It is not that the department looked into it and decided, because after the comments, his argument is as follows. He says, the following phrase should be deleted in draft resolution 9, and depending on the seniority of all the staff members. He says, if an employee is on leave and due operational requirements need arises for the employee to attend to some important or urgent issues at work, the employer is at liberty to instruct the employee who is on leave to attend to such issues irrespective of the employee's seniority. In fact, this is more applicable to senior managers. This is captured in many employers' leave policies, including Utungulu District Municipality's leave policy and so forth. The issue here is when we looked into this, remember that practically in municipalities, there has been a very contested issue that performance management system has to involve downwards to members of the ordinary council employees. That it is difficult and unacceptable that your performance management system practically only resides at the upper echelons of the municipal structure, of the municipal employee structure. But that it should involve downwards. So our thinking was, if this person on the ground has got an experience of the fact that his or her performance contract, performance management system is municipal, cascaded down to ordinary council employees, then this particular issue should be relevant. However, from the advice of the Portfolio Committee now, advancing the argument that we have been advancing now, it would be ideal that we relook into this matter again and adhere to the original crafting of this particular section that relates to the performance manager's system, the person taking leave during the election period, they only reduced to senior members of the particular municipality. We will do that, and it will be reflected once we give you the copy that will be forwarded to you. Lastly, on this issue of the full-time council and so forth, it's noted, and that will be effect to the final regulation. But coming back to this, I know maybe that may be, like I have indicated, in this issue of the performance management system that cascades to ordinary members of the council, I'm saying originally, before comments from the public before we got a comment from the municipal manager of Tungulu. We had it in that way. But we will look into this matter and effect the contribution of the members in relation to the regulation number 9.
I think what we are saying is, you know, the phrase senior maybe should be removed, you know, but indicate that employees who have performance contracts, you know. Now, it can be anybody else. All the employees who must, who have those contracts with. Because if you say senior, the possibility is a junior employee might have a contract. That's the possibility is there, and that's what we're saying. If you can just remove this word senior, and then you continue with the whole thing.
Agreed, Chairperson. It will be done in that way. It's understandable in that particular fashion.
Yeah, not maybe just to add. All right.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was looking for that clarity. I heard my colleague respond to the committee, but I didn't understand what he was responding to. So I was glad for the follow-up that was made by the member. Because obviously, not obviously, I'm sitting with the regulations here, and the version that I have does not refer to a senior staff member. So I was trying to find out what we are responding to, because that amendment has been taken care of already. So I'm not sure when my colleague says we're going to revisit anything, what we need to revisit, because that matter, and unless I'm missing something here, Chairperson, let me put it differently. I heard a comment being made that maybe it's inappropriate and incorrect to refer to a senior staff member for the reasons explained. Now my contribution is to say, when I look at the regulations in front of me, I don't see such a reference anymore. So I thought we'd already taken care of that particular comment. I'm just maybe seeking clarity again before my colleague here said he's making a commitment to do things which I thought we've done already.
Bloom?
There's a question to the department, from the department. Now I'm also getting confused, because the DG is saying he wants to have clarity on something that his colleague is talking about. You have clarified us, Chairperson, you have clarified me personally, that he's saying there's nothing to amend and to revisit. Thank you.
I was also confused, but I think in future the department must come here prepared, because we wouldn't like to see this situation where the DG is saying something different, the presenter is saying something different.
Hello, Bessart.
Mr. Chair, I think we should be in mitigation of the department. The regulations were written a couple of years ago by the Minister for Sections 57 and 56 directives initially. And then as you go down the hierarchy, people are getting job descriptions and all this kind of things. It's because it's a level of competency that you must adhere to. The problem is that at this stage, it doesn't matter where it is you take a guy out of his job. They are more senior, they are more influenced in the management of the municipality. But on the other hand, if in a municipality, a senior, let's use the word senior just for clarification, is taking leave for 3 weeks, then in any case the municipality must manage his affairs whilst he's not there. So I don't think we should overemphasize this whole issue. People must be able to manage it. I think the biggest problem is, if a guy is not coming in, he's not making it as the winner in the municipality, and then he can come back and he can say, yeah, but you didn't vote for me, and that's the reason why I didn't make it, that kind of thing. But I think that is a hoax. We should not really take this into consideration, otherwise you will get to no solution. But I agree and I support the fact that the municipal, on the conditions as you set out in your presentation, can take part, and I don't see really big problems, and if there are, then the municipality must handle it. That is the reason why we have a managerial system. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, I was just going. You want to respond? Buna?
Sorry, Chair, before you speak, I just need to get clarity on this one thing. Can you just go back to that phrase that you say, if a staff member is on leave during the elections and he or she unneeded at work. Just clarify that thing to me before I just want to get that, please.
Yeah, I think to add to that, municipality, somebody wins municipal A, we're killing municipal B. Just a bit of to unpack that.
And sorry, Chair, that thing of you are a staff member and in Utungulu municipality, and you are standing in Etekwini municipality. I'm just making an example. You win the elections at Etekwini. Whether you are a part-time councillor there, you can be still a staff member at Utungulu. Explain it to us, please. Clarify me on that, because I've got a lot of questions concerning that.
Thank you. I think you can.
Honorable Chairperson, I am to refer you to specifically in the regulations. Regulation 9 in the actual regulation, in response to the first part of the question, relates to when appropriate. I don't know if a lot of members have got the regulation, the copy of the regulations. But if you don't have, I'll read that. It says, when appropriate, an employer may instruct the staff member who participates as a candidate in elections while on leave to urgently attend a meeting of the employer or to provide urgent and critical information and documents for purposes of business continuity, the efficient and effective management of the employer, financial accountability, and for the maintenance of good governance. Meaning that, remember, we said in our regulations that a staff member participating in elections, once issued with a certificate by the IEC, shall be deemed to be on leave. Now, it says here, in the event that the municipality is of the opinion that that particular member who participated in election should attend a council meeting because of, for instance, the position that he holds, the kind of responsibility that he has in the municipality, that he must come and clarify certain issues to the municipality, or any to provide urgent or critical information or documents for purposes of business continuity of the municipality, then the municipality, for only that particular purpose, the municipality will then call that person from leave to perform the duties as indicated in number 9. And once that particular function has been performed, the continuation of a member being on leave continues, meaning that once this particular situation arises, where critical and important information is needed from that particular member, then the municipality may call that person to come and give that particular information. That's the spirit of number 9. I don't know if I've answered you correctly there. That's how it is worded. I read it word by word. It takes into account where the municipality has to call the person for to perform certain information, to provide certain information.
My brother may just make my follow-up of my maybe saying ignorant. I'm employee of Cape Town Metro. I reside in Overberg Municipality. I stand election in Overberg Municipality. I declared that according to the IEC. But I'm still employee and win that side. What's going to happen?
Then maybe if I understood you correctly, this here relates to a stage before even the election is declared by the IEC. Is that at a time when you are on leave and you are holding a position in this municipality? This municipality,
now needs to attend to its normal business, but it can't because you are the person who has that information. Critically, you are the person who has that information. They will recall you from leave.
No, I'm sorry. You don't understand the question. The question here is, he is an employee at Cape Town Metro, and he's staying in Overberg Municipality. Now, he is a candidate in Overberg Municipality. If he has been elected as a councillor in Overberg Municipality, can he still be employing in Cape Town Metro and be a councillor in Overberg? That's the question here.
Chairperson, let me try and clarify the one part and also ask my colleague to come in on the other part. The first point to make is that law in this country does not allow any person to be an employee, an official, and at the same time be an elected political representative in any sphere of government. That's point number one.
Sorry. Because there was a mention of Municipal B, Municipal A in one of the presentations by present. That's why we make that for, but you can continue to do that.
Thanks. So that's the first clarity, but maybe next time I must sit next to my colleague so we can whisper to each other. That's the problem. But I thought there was another question being asked which we are not responding to, and I'm gonna ask my colleague to respond. And I thought the question is, and I'm repeating the question so that we understand what is being asked. The question I thought was, if, to use your example, Chairperson, I am working in Cape Town Municipality, I'm an executive director there for engineering, but I stay somewhere in Stellenbosch or I stay somewhere and in next year's local government elections I decide I want to stand as a councillor. Then the IEC issues me with a certificate. Then the question arose now, I thought this is what I heard, whether I need to resign, or not resign, whether I need to go on leave in Cape Town Municipality because I'm standing in a different municipality. I thought that was the kind of question that was beginning to emerge that we were not responding to. So colleague, I'm just repeating the question that we need to respond to.
Maybe I understood it differently. That is why I referred to number 9, that refers to person being recalled and so forth. I must indicate that particular scenario has not been captured in the present regulations in instances where a person will stand in another municipality. In all the processes that we have crafted, that particular scenario has not been captured in these regulations.
But, it just makes sense. I can't be a councillor and it's any other municipality and an official. It can't be. It's not something that you must go and revisit and see and all. It can't happen. In other words, you want me to be the referee and the player. That's what you want me. Where is it in two different municipalities? I can't be a public representative and at the same time an official of another council.
Chairperson, I think this particular is what the DG clarified it in relation. Hence, I'm saying that this particular scenario is not captured in this regulation, because the DG has already indicated that a person can be an employer and be a councillor in another municipality. That is clarified.
DG?
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think maybe we can give a view, but if the committee wants us to get second, third legal opinion on this, we can. But my interpretation and operating on the principle that the member is articulating, which we are in complete agreement on, because the law says that it's very clear that you can't be an official and a political representative at the same time. But in the scenario that we just painted, where my colleague is saying that we've not necessarily thought about that scenario, I think the principle must assist us here. Because if that principle is saying that an official cannot be a political representative at the same time, then I think we must interpret the current regulations to mean that in that scenario that you gave us, Chairperson, where I am working in Cape Town, I want to stand as an official in Overberg or anywhere else, I must then go on annual leave immediately. So I'm saying the principle must apply even in that scenario. Because if you look at the regulations, we are also regulating the fact of an official standing for a provincial legislature, for a national legislature. It takes effect. That official must go on annual leave immediately. So we cannot now begin to entertain a different scenario where I can continue to be employed in Cape Town and in the evening and lunchtimes I'm doing electioneering. It just cannot be. So I'm basically agreeing with the members that the principle must apply. And I think if you want us to get a second and third opinion on this, we can, but that would be my interpretation of the intention of what we're trying to do here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I think I would like that from this experience. Usually during elections, we had people who are in local government, provincial level. Some of them are still councillors, as I'm speaking, in the department of local government, but they are still councillors. I have that experience in Limpopo. I know some such councillors. I think that should be researched correctly to say nationally what is the practice in other provinces, because it's going to be a political problem. You are an employee of cooperative government at provincial level who must oversee municipality, but yet you are a councillor. Yes, that one I can put my head. You go to Limpopo, I'll give you this and this and this example. It's there. And then, so I thought this regulation should generally deal with that aspect. But I know it doesn't arise. I'm not saying the department is wrong here. I'm trying to enrich. It's not wrong because it never arose. But as we debate, certain things comes, you know, to say, but this is a problem. And you know, this one is a side issue, but I'm sure it's a general problem. You know that there is a problem that teachers sometimes leave teaching and go to council meeting and then deny something like that. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's not against the constitution. It's because it's their right. But how then do we, you know, strengthen our law? How do we do that? Because the IEC allows that. There's no problem with that one. But as we go forward, or maybe it will need the committee in petitions or legislation to start something. It's not for you, Mr. Devo. I'm just throwing this for us to choose. Because it's also a problem. It's considered a lot of problems. It's still a problem. But in terms of constitutional rights, they have that thing. You know? So I thought when I give example of Overberg and Cape Town, it will be like those who are in the department and in municipalities. Precisely because the most argument that discouraged is that in the same municipality, you can't be elected and remain an official outside the law. That was just argument. So you can't do that one. But it has never been emphasized that in any other that can happen. I'm trying to say that if you, as Elroy say, maybe it can be researched, whatever. I think one would be comfortable. So that if you go out, we're able to deal with all the scenarios that comes from, you know, some people can be too opportunistic and find that we don't have a law to lean on. So you can research that and maybe constitute an opinion. Honorable Gundain.
Yes, Chair. It's a good thing that you raised that issue. There's another thing that comes to mind here. You've got correctional services guys who are counselors now. You've got teachers who are counselors now. And the correctional services, the commission has sent out a letter. I know specifically because I've handled that case, because one of the counselors in ID is a correctional service in Upington. I've handled that case. I've written a letter to the commissioner 2 years ago because he wanted to remove that guy from the correctional services. I just asked him, I said, just tell me the law that you can remove that guy. then all teachers must be removed as counselors as well, or as teachers, and stay as a counselor. So can you also revisit that issue for us and see to it, get some legal opinion about that, because it also doesn't make, it's a problem for many of us. It's a big problem. Because I think in the near future, as the councils are going to be constituted, perhaps this thing will work him out in the next 3-5 years, we don't know. But revisit it for us and just get a legal opinion for us on that. Is it true? Can it happen? Must it happen, or what is happening? Thank you.
Yeah, I think that one is just a general circumstance prevailed. Even with prior democracy, you had that. That's why prior democracy, you had council meeting at 5 o'clock, because some people are working elsewhere. But I think it needs a law. It might not need this regulation. It's something that maybe, I don't know how do we notice, and start, where do we suggest law? From committees, whatever? Or maybe from study groups or various, whatever? We might look into that, but it's a problem to an extent, especially when we don't follow procedures, when we, you disadvantage other organs in favor of another one, you know, service delivery get what. I think we may note it and say, how do we start a debate as SOP on this one? You know, I think that, but on regulation, it's too heavy for regulation to me. You know, we might not be able to get this, we'll be out of what we are supposed to be doing now. But it's important that it must be, we must do something. The other issue that was very important that we need to know. Remember, council has got part-time and full-time. It's law. Part-time and full-time is, in essence, law. But the IEC indeed does not determine who is full-time. Determination is done by council. Those who are appointed in executive committee, mayoral committees, whatever. That's where determination comes in. And this thing, I think it has been clarified by Elroy and Honorable there, that we need to take senior-junior categorization and follow as it determined by Municipal Systems Act. And maybe live with that one. Because here we talk Section 57, but they are not declared senior or whatever. They are just Section 57 employees who are appointed by council in consultation with MM. And therefore, maybe we'd live with that one. Otherwise, we might delay the regulation if we can, whatever. I think if we take out this new title, we might be legally relevant until somebody in the future comes with more whatever. For now, I think let's leave it that way. But I saw hints here.
So, Chairperson, the DG raised something in passing to say that during the day you are a councillor, during the night you are electioneering for a position. Are you saying all the municipal workers or whatever is not entitled to electioneering for a particular party or whatever? It's clarification, because
No, thank you. No, Honourable Member, I was definitely not saying that. The Constitution protects all of us to engage in free political activity. I think we were simply talking about the scenario of these officials who are standing as candidates. So we are limiting, my comment was limited to those individuals who are making themselves available to stand as candidates. It was not a general comment on whether people can do whatever they want to do, lunchtimes and so on. Definitely not. Thank you.
Remember, colleagues, there is another debate that is on, that is deferred to summits, various summits, that of being a chairperson, deputy chairperson, what, can be appointed or something like that. You still remember, you know that. What is that? I think some of these things can be carried because I know it was shot somewhere else. It needs further things, but it's not part of this one. So let's just conclude on this one, and others maybe will discuss off the record if there's any need. Are we with those amendments?
I'm satisfied. These two are arguing of something, but I am totally satisfied about this. Gunda is keeping my colleague busy here, but on behalf of them, I am very much satisfied. Thanks.
Are you satisfied, Bishop? Thank you.
As usual, I'll take one.
Okay.
May I just add something? I'm satisfied with what I'm reading, but necessarily I'm not satisfied with what I was hearing, because that we must make very clear. What stands there is just the issue about the mechanics for an employer to be part of the campaign. But other things that was mentioned, for example, standing, you can stand in another municipality and be still the employer in this one, that can't be, because a teacher can be a candidate, but then he must get permission from his subordinate. There's certain provisions making in the law, but it's very, very clear. It's so easy, even I can understand it. But the fact of the matter is, a councillor or a municipal manager cannot be, a municipal official cannot be a councillor in any council, whatsoever. Thank you.
Chairperson, I just wanted to say that with your guidance, I would want to agree with the honourable member. That is the interpretation. But I thought what we were saying, if we need to get double, triple assurance on this, then I think we can do that. But certainly, I would have thought the intention is definitely to give effect to the interpretation that was given now. So that was the one issue. But the second issue, Chairperson, just so that we are clear about the way forward, the issue of teachers and correctional officials, those matters are not intended to be regulated here. Here we're only focusing on municipal officials, not public servants in general, because these other categories fall into the general category of public servants. So, Chairperson, that can be an issue for if you, with your guidance, for another day, another occasion, different regulations, etc. Thank you.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. Maybe the committee must see how you image. Because of other problems elsewhere. It can be debated if it passed or whatever. So I think we are in agreement with amendments, suggestions that we made with this regulation. And on behalf of the committee, I think we are in agreement with that. It can move forward. And then before promulgation, I think, as we said, we need to have a look, because I'm sure it is us who will be debating on their behalf. You won't come to Parliament and debate it. So that when you debate, we know that we are debating something that passed through stages of committee consultations. Thank you very much. With those, would like to thank everyone, the department, members of the committee, committee secretaries, and everyone. We thank you for participation in the meeting. Stand again. I'm not sure whether Chairperson Mufuken has got a meeting. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Till we meet again. Elroy, can I have something with you here?
I don't know about that.